Also, when I was in Thailand 3 years ago, I spent 2.5 years in Thailand, and strangely enough, I was going there to spend time on retreat anywhere. I didn't have any intention to be with Ajahn Chah's disciples or any kind of monastery of Ajahn Chah. I just thought, I'll go wherever I feel it's the right place. And some woman in Bangkok said that she knew a place for me, and she didn't tell me what it was exactly, but it was first monastery, and it would be the right place. So she took me there, and I discovered that it was a disciple of Ajahn Chah's, where I spent 2.5 years. So that was another interesting kind of link, even though I hadn't kind of planned it. Also, during my second year in that monastery, there was a nun there who spent a Vasa with me, the summer retreat. And she'd spent 15 years at Wat Nom Bapong, where the nuns live. And she'd been the sort of assistant secretary and attendant of the senior nun when the first woman who ordained was Ajahn Chah. So I got quite a lot of stories from her, including tapes of her teaching that he used to give to the nuns from time to time. And she was telling me how in the early years, the first woman who wanted to come and study was Ajahn Chah. Was a very pretty sort of 18 years old woman, young woman from the village and nearby, and she was she liked to sing, she was performing, and she was very kind of bright and very kind of boisterous and pretty and so on, you know, and she was absolutely determined to study with Ajahn Chah. So Ajahn Chah actually made her wait 2 years and said, you have to keep the 8 precepts for 2 years. And then after 2 years, she kept the 8 precepts dutifully. And then she was accepted by Ajahn Chah to ordain as a Meichi, this kind of white 8 precept robe nun. And she was telling me how in the early years, Ajahn Chah actually had them going pindapat with them, which was interesting because nun never go pindapat with monks. It's very, never happened to me once when I was at the monastery in Thailand, but technically it's very rare that such a thing happened. And Ajahn Chah, it was just probably just a practical thing that it was just the best way to do it, but it was very unusual. And certainly, you know, he was probably open to a maybe misunderstanding. In fact, he was. He's been criticized, but I think he was quite far, you know, beyond any sort of fear of being misunderstood or criticized. So, and then she was kind of mid-30. This nun also told me a couple of other stories, which I thought I'd share with you, which not so often heard, but it's very brief. One was, it's hearsay, and it's come from the senior nun at Wat Nom Bapong, and I would imagine that it's pretty, you know, correct. And she was saying that once Ajahn Chah had the monks gathered in the sala at Wat Nom Bapong, and he said, are there anybody who find having nuns around difficult? And so some people said yes. He said, well, you can go then. And then there was another instance which was really quite interesting also, when there was this woman from a village who used to come and offer the food to the monastery. And she kept coming with just the amount of portion, just for the monks, and never had anything for the nuns. So Ajahn Chah noticed that and wanted to teach her a lesson. And one day he had the woman offer the food and so on, and she didn't bring anything to the nun. Then he said, okay, and they asked the nuns to do the blessing instead of him. Usually it's the monks who, you know. And suddenly the woman realized what she'd done, you know. So he was pretty sharp, and